kicks along to Ryan. Big grab by Liam Flying Ryan.
The best players make their mark in the big moments. Make your mark by trading the world's biggest market on Stake. Seize every opportunity and download Stake Wall Street. Now you're trading.
Stake is a licensed representative of Sanlam Private Wealth. Read our MSG for more information.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Paris Fabriziani, Craig Bradford and Mel Hall. On the show this morning, we look at AFL and Blues news and review the game from Thursday night. Special guest live interview today is Triple Premiership player David Glascott. We cross live to the Hype and David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Paris, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
We thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Thank you for that, Paris, and welcome to the show for the first year,
Thank
Paris.
Thank you.
Good to see you. You're looking quite well, wide awake, and you're all happy. And
looking forward to who makes the first mistake.
that would have been
I'm looking at you, Greg.
That was Jesse last week, not me.
Anyway, thanks for that. Okay, Mel, welcome to Mel. I think we've got a bit of AFL news. There's a lot happening.
A lot happening first week. I could go on for hours.
Well, don't go on for hours, but let's just go through the AFL news.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with St Kilda launching the Spud game, Time to Talk. It's made the news. Obviously, it's significant to the mental illness. They're trying to make awareness. The club's getting behind it. Anita Frawley has also came out and had an interview with, oh God, I've gone completely blank. Was it Damien Barrett? Yep. And she went into quite depth with how emotional it was that this game is now happening. She's really, she's obviously it's still very raw. Since they've, you know, the family, they're all still very cut by this, so it's brought back emotions to the surface again.
Yeah.
But they could not let this game go ahead because they knew that Spud would be so proud that they're doing something to try and rein in mental illness within the AFL.
Yeah, it'll be an excellent promotion and something that it's he's well deserved. He obviously hit it quite well because everyone, even like Jason Dunstan, all the guy he was doing all the footy with, say he was just the laugh of the party and always up and about, so he must have hit it quite well.
And just carrying on with the mental health also, you know, in the news this week, Shane Tuck's widow is actually had major discussions with the AFL and she believes that they're actually trying to manipulate the investigation, so to speak, regarding his tragic suicide. So, I mean, I touched on this last week with regards to Kenny trying to communicate with the AFL with the same issues.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this? Why are we hitting a roadblock?
I'll tell you why, Mel, because there's a massive litigation and there's going to be massive payouts. That's why you're hitting roadblocks. And they keep trying to put in new rules to try and stop this, but it's what's happened in the past, which they have to own it and they have to say, put their hand up and say, look, we need to fix this problem.
I completely agree. Yeah, it's just the next thing on, moving on to Gillon McLachlan.
Yep.
He's come out this week after Dangers got his 3 weeks, which well deserved.
Yep.
But after that came out, Gills actually came out and made it very clear any hits to the head are going to be severely punished, which
Well, when was that? Oh, after Dangerous.
After Dangerous.
So you didn't see round one. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's saying anything above the head, like anything around the head, which brings me to what did we think about last night's?
4 weeks.
I'm going three. I think there was no, there was no injury. It was low impact.
But there was the intent.
Like, and it was purely intentional.
Yeah,
there was no,
it was
no just going for the ball. There was no, it was clearly intentional. He was, Gary Rowan was roughed up.
Like, I think if Neil got injured, it would have been a lot more, but I just think it's going to be around two.
It's actually like a couch punch.
It is, yeah.
It's the round arm. It slipped and it got him in the jaw. So there's two weeks at least.
It has to be three.
Yeah, well, two at least.
If you hit him in the head, it would have been like Gaff. What was that, eight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and the most protected player down Geelong, he's got to get 1 week. I bet he doesn't get any.
The sling tackle.
The sling tackle. Yeah. I've got that to go on to as well.
And while we're there, let's keep going on Geelong. Let's keep going. I always thought that a suspended player was not allowed on the ground. Channel 7 interviewed Patrick Dangerfield on the ground while Geelong and Brisbane had run out. What's the go there? Has rules changed? Maybe I'm not up with the rule.
Hey, I'm
always
not. Thought,
there's one. And what about Chris Scott? Let's go on to him too.
Oh.
Having a go at quarter time, he could incite something there. That's so there's another.
What was that about?
It was about the Rowan hit. On...
And he got stuck into Danaher. He was getting stuck into Danaher.
Yeah.
And... surely he's going to be reprimanded by the AFL for his behaviour. Is it acceptable for a coach to be doing that these days?
No. I think if it's a Geelong or a Richmond coach, yes.
Different rules apply
to
them.
Anybody else? Yeah. No.
Oh, but Hocking. He does S. Hocking, Steve Hocking. He is the football guru. He did play for Geelong, so I expect there'll be nothing.
So I couldn't
believe my eyes, and even after the game he was still carrying on.
I
did hear that Chris Scott said that after the game, you know how clubs like give members, you know, 25% off on their team store. Chris Scott is going to give everyone 25% off to go get a spray tan
and grow a mullet. What else we got, Mel?
Okay, going back to last night's game, the new Brisbane COVID outbreak, what a debacle that turned in. 8 minutes before the game, there was an announcement over the speakers that anyone who arrived from Queensland from the 12th of March onwards had to leave the premises immediately. Now, this didn't just affect the crowds. This affected the commentators. It was Wayne Carey and Luke Hodge had to leave, and also the broadcasting team. There was a significant amount of broadcasting team that had to leave, which threw everything into a massive schmozzle. They had to call in temporary staff to try and cover it.
Yeah.
So this COVID is not going away, and it's going to leave everything so up in the air, even today's Brisbane, the AFLW game.
Yeah, what happens?
What happens?
But it's that flow-on effect. I think we... outside before we got on air this morning, where we talked about the Brisbane girls played whoever, I can't remember, last week, what happens to the other team, and the other side, Sydney played Brisbane in Brisbane last week, what happens there. So
with regards to the players, I think the players, they're saying that the players, the crew and the team staff are all okay because they have been abiding by the quarantine rules and regulations.
So they don't, when they have their day off, they don't go walk around public. They just stay in their bubble, do they?
They can walk around in public, but they can't sit down at restaurants and stuff still.
Really?
Which I believe is still ongoing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, only in your home state.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, they're in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So they can go out and sit there and have a coffee and that. So what's the difference?
True.
Anyway.
I did hear, though, when the commentators had to leave, apparently Wayne Carey was then replaced by Abby Holmes,
who
did an amazing job.
Totally agree. Yes, she was going to be the boundary rider. She came up with special comments. They put that Tony Brown as the boundary rider.
But imagine the chaos trying to organise that within such a short notice. Surely the AFL would have been all over this. It shouldn't come down to 8 minutes before the game.
Yeah, it's just a moving target, this COVID thing, though. And you don't know what government's going to do. Could you imagine if Chairman
McGowan
over here, Fuhrer, mate, he'd lock everything down.
Well, this is coming on...
Yeah.
Cancel the game.
This is coming on the same week that Victorian government opened up crowds to 75,000.
Yeah.
And everyone just has to QR code in, you know. But We've got that, and now we've got...
Let's just hope that they've locked this down and it doesn't spread. Let's just hope.
Yeah, it's just fingers crossed.
It's a waiting game now. It's just daily. We need to just wait.
And it's just going to go back to the whole week by week. We're not going to know who we're playing and where we're playing and what's going on.
Could be like last year all over.
Bring him to WA.
No, he won't let him. Anyway, what else you got, Mel?
This is a big one. Well, it's a big one for the Dockers, actually. The AFL have now changed its policy on state league bans and suspensions, which means that especially the AFL have actually written to all relevant clubs and to inform them of the change of the policy, which now means that the Treacy, who is a major in, he's the one that got suspended from Peel the other week for... He got 4 weeks. His two match suspension does not apply now to the AFL because the waffle season has now ceased. So he is now eligible to play against us on Sunday.
I don't agree with that, not just because it's playing against Carlton, but I don't think that's fair. If you're suspended in the waffle, you wait for the waffle to start and then you sit out your suspension. It's not just because the AFL's on that it's okay.
I thought it was any league you don't play. Especially you can't play at a high league. If you're rubbed out, you cannot play at a high league.
Yeah, and the waffle hasn't started until 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's right. So. The same as all the other second-tier leagues. They don't start. So, really, it should be you either sit out the 4 weeks of the Freo game that are playing and then you've served your penance because you can't go to a high league. But again, maybe I don't know that rules have changed. There's lots of things I'm just shaking my head at the moment.
Freo probably wrote something in because they've only got, I think, 25 players available.
They've got a lot of injuries, Freo.
They did. Yeah. It was actually on the Dockers. They actually wrote in requesting, a change. So that's how that went down. This is an interesting one, and I'm going to be keen to see what you guys think about this. The coaches want the option to trade players against their own will. This has come up again. They have had a unanimous survey go out during the week, and the majority of the coaches want to be able to trade their players.
Ah, geez. Shouldn't it be a two-way street?
You think so?
No, that'd be like... And it's too hard now because it's a national game. If you've got your wife and kids that you're living in Perth and you're getting traded to the East Coast and you've got to uplift your family, I don't agree with it.
Neither do I.
I don't have many comments on it. I think they do it in the NBL and...
Well, that's what they're
NBA,
saying.
Sorry, and people find out on court that they're being traded.
That's true.
They do it in most international sports.
Yeah.
AFL is one of the only one, and this is what a lot of the coaches have actually said, is that why are we the only game that are not being able to do this?
No, I still think it should be a two-way. I don't believe that, as you said, the NBA do that, and there's a phone call, you're now playing for such and such.
Yeah.
Move. Yeah, I just don't.
Not right.
You got anything else, Matt? You got one more last thing?
Not really relevant to us.
Yeah, no, not to us, but what about the tribunal of the AFLW? What about that one?
I was actually going to save that.
Okay, all right. Thanks for that, Mel. All right.
No, I've got one more.
Okay.
Buddy Franklin finally returns.
After
581 days of not playing due to mental health issues.
And hamstring. Let's hope it don't go twang when he runs down the race.
I hope he kicks six and they absolutely...
Who are they playing?
The Crows.
Oh, there's a reversal from you, Paris. Oh, my.
Wow.
My.
Going against
the
Crows.
He's a superstar of the game.
I'm just glad he's back out there. He's one of, the best players, and to have him back after that long.
Sydney are very happy to have him back out there because they're just paying all these massive bucks. The money's just going...
1.2 million this
sitting,
year,
while
thank
he's
you.
Sitting on the stands.
Yep. Interested to see how the two young kids now play with him from last week.
True.
Logan McDonald and who was the other one?
No, sorry, South Melbourne. Oh, Sydney
sure.
Swans, I'm not sure.
But they both kicked three, so to see them both...
Well, you know what will happen because of the status he has in the game, Buddy Franklin, and the presence he has in the forward line, they're going to come out and just kick to him.
Yeah,
let's hope
they
can see what's on the outside. Anyway, we'll wait and see. All right, thanks, Mel. Craig, what do we got for Blues news, injury updates, milestones, anything?
Yeah,
what do we got?
As we know, the two wins we know about were Williams and Jack Martin.
Well done.
Yes, I went brain dead there for a minute.
What do you mean for a minute?
Yeah, so that was a big plus for us, although it didn't help us. But we also we had big Harry McKay playing his 50th AFL game on Thursday night.
Now listen, all you people out on social media, I'm glad you said that, Craig. Harry McKay got bashed the week before. He played his 50th game on the weekend.
Yeah.
God, guys, relax. Go, Craig. Sorry.
Okay, we also had another milestone on Thursday night with Mark Murphy achieving his 287th game in the Navy Blue. In doing so, he equaled Justin Madden in sixth place on Carlton's all-time player list. Only behind Bradley, Dool, Simpson, Nichols, and Stephen Silvani. So there's some big names there that he's behind. Also, on another note, Chris and I would just like to give out a big thank you to Grace Egan.
WA Blues sponsored player.
I was just getting to that. Sorry, but Craig. Anyway, you just cut me off. That's sorry, all right.
A bit keen there, Brownie.
No, I thought he was just going to go through, and I just thought.
No. As we went to the AFLW season sponsors review on Monday night at the Hardware Club, Grace was great in giving up her time. One thing I will say about Grace, she has the greatest taste in food. Every time a meal come out, Andy, what's that? Can I eat it? What's this, Andy?
Jeez, you ragged her out on radio, mate.
You know it was quite funny. It was quite entertaining. She had a chat to you about chicken schnitzels and
Palmer and chips.
Palmer and chips. And
look, she's
sorry. Palmy and chips.
Palmer.
Yeah. So she was
what's
amazing.
Palmy?
It's a chicken palmy.
It's a palmy.
Yeah, it's a palmy.
Is that a Western Australian thing, is it?
And a South Australia. It's a palmy.
Of course it is.
It's not a palmy.
Yeah. So, she's a very funny girl. Country girl at heart, you can just tell.
We've got a bigger population. Anyway.
Yeah. also, look, it was good for other players there giving up their time. Abby McKay, daughter of 1995 Premiership player Andrew. There was Lucy McAvoy there, Nicola Stevens, Alison Downey. And, of course, we had Andy Maher on our table too. He was a very knowledgeable, funny man as well.
We had a great chat with him too.
So that was good. On sponsorships terms, we've got Barclay Smokehouse back signing up again for 2 years with the Blues. So they've been involved with the club now for the past few years. So on the injury front, as we said, Jack Martin played. The update with young Jack Silvani is that the shoulders settled down as a lot quicker than what they first thought. Now, hopefully he's only going to miss maybe 1 to 2 weeks, which they think at this stage he doesn't require surgery. Hopefully, by the sounds of things, Mitch McGovern, with his back tightness, should be available also next week.
Does he get a spot in the team, though?
I
think they have to, size-wise, don't we? We need some size.
I actually think that maybe Casbolt, or you can see that Casbolt's carrying an injury. Like that.
He was questioned last week whether they were going to play him. So I don't know. And he didn't look that great towards the end of the fourth.
You just think that Oscar McDonald would get in before McGovern?
You probably could too. Yeah,
you're probably right there. He was a bit stiff that he was the medical sub.
Yeah. Just with other injury updates, Charlie Curnow at this stage is still...
Out for how long?
Indefinite. Tom DeConig, they're saying basically about 2 to 3 weeks. Brody Kemp's got his moon boot off and he's back running next week, so that's a good sign there. Caleb Marchbank with his calf. Hopefully they're saying that he'll play VFL this week. And then he'll probably get a couple of games in the twos before he plays back into the AFL. Jack Martin, as we said, played. McGovern, we've covered. Nick Newman with his knee is hopefully mid-season.
Well done, Craig.
Yeah. Sam Phillip with his hip and groin. Hopefully they'll see him in the next couple of weeks. And as we said, Jack Silvani's shoulders settled down. It doesn't require surgery, so... that's a big plus there. And also there was a very good article written in the Age pretty much stating that Patrick Cripps is not gettable, basically based on where West Coast and Frio are situated with their salary cap, and plus the murmurs around with certain people is that Cripper's got no intentions of coming back anyway. So,
did you hear what Kane Corn said, saying that he should go?
I don't listen to anything Kane Corn says.
I was not going to bring it up because I refuse to,
I don't
give,
want to
him,
give him any
more airtime. So, yeah.
All right. But, is that all you got for Blues News,
yep,
Craig?
Okay, pretty much.
Thank you very much. Well, Paris,
yep,
we have to do it. We have to review that loss against the Pies on Thursday night. Over to you, Paris.
Zach Williams was busy early in his first minutes as a Blue, controlling the ball through the middle and setting up scoring opportunities in the forward 50. Jack Martin slotted an early goal in his return to the side, while Mark Pitternet provided a strong contest against Brodie Grundy. Collingwood was clean in getting the ball inside its 50, with its conversion in front of goal causing headaches for the home side. Gibbons delivered a clever snap on goal to keep it tight, while Lockie Fogarty's pressure was consistent across the field. Adam Saad provided speed and class across halfback, leading the disposal count for Carlton in the first term, but it was Pies who went well and truly held the ascendancy on the scoreboard with a 3-goal lead. Collingwood started its second quarter quickly with 2 goals in the first minute, before Pitternet kicked his first AFL goal to get the Blues going forward in the second term. Martin provided an option for the Blues in the middle and up forward, taking his tally to 3 goals for the game, before Gibbons once again bobbed up with a goal of the year contender to get back into the game, although are we sure that goal was, the ball was really infield?
It was in.
It was like Harmsey's tap back.
I think it was out.
It was in. Anyway.
Collingwood dominated the contested possession count, but Carlton was able to hang on through the boot of Mackay. Wittering and Sam Doherty did everything in their power to lock down the defensive 50, but a Collingwood run-on in the final moments left Carlton with plenty to do in the second half. The Pies had territory early in the third quarter, but it was the Blues had the Blues' defence under heavy fire. Up until the last quarter, Carlton started as they ended the third with lots of ball in their forward half and asking the question of Collingwood's back line. However, it was the Pies that managed to take advantage of the Blues' inability to hit the scoreboard early and answered with 2 goals of their own, putting the Blues back on the foot, on the back foot, sorry. It was ultimately a case of what might have been for the Blues. Despite a third goal for Gibbons, a snap from Brodie Majacek sealed the deal for the Pies, rendering the Blues to a 21-point defeat. The moment of the match was Mark Pitternet slotting his first goal as a Blue. Goals, Mackay 4, Martin 3, Gibbons 3, Pitternet, Fogarty, Fisher 1, and best was Fogarty, Walsh, Mackay, Saad, Martin.
Thanks for that. We won't go too much into this. We can talk a lot with the hyphen when he comes on later. Anyway, thank you. Time now to go for a well-earned break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we cross live to Triple Premiership player David Glescott. Go Blues.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2021 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington. Come see us today. If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441658.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast of the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by Chris, Paris, Craig and Mel. Now it's time to cross live to Triple Premiership player and Carlton Hall of Famer, David Glascott. Good morning, David, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, Chris. How are you going? And guys, how are you all in there?
We're going quite well over here. It's a beautiful sunny day over here, Dave. Not sure the temperature today, about 28 degrees.
And sunny.
Nice and sunny, mate. It's beautiful. I hope it's nice over there in Melbourne. But
it stopped raining for the first time in about 10 days, about an hour ago. So
that's not good.
But
mate,
the grass is green. I'm at the football watching one of my daughters play, and the hole, it's one of those big expanses, and all you can see is green and ovals of girls playing football. So that's a good thing.
Mate, that's excellent to hear. So we may get another father-daughter. In the years to come.
Well, I've got three daughters, and two of them play. So who knows? I think the one that's 23, I don't think she's that committed. She just enjoys playing. The 20-year-old's a bit more committed, so we'll just see how that pans out.
Mate, it's good to hear. Look, it's great because, like back in our day, Dave, the girls played in the junior leagues until they were about 12, and then they were sort of forced to netball or basketball. So it's good to see that there's a pathway beginning now, and the AFLW is improving every year and getting better. So it's good to see.
Yeah, and you know, when you're driving around Melbourne on a Saturday afternoon, there's as many games of girls football as there is boys. The girls just love it. They just love playing. They just tackle, and they there's no fear, and there's no, you know, there's no concern. It's really it's great to see that they're out there and they're playing. And my kids are adult children, so they're not, you know, 15, 16, 17. One's 23 and one's 20, and I'm just looking at the team, and they'd all be adult women. So, it's great to see them playing footy on a Saturday afternoon.
Mate, excellent to hear. All right, mate, look, I'll throw you over to the panel, and first I'll throw you over to Craig.
David, how are you going, mate?
Good, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Listen, look, you had an amazing career. You're a three-time premiership player, 81, 82 and 1987. Is there one of those that really sticks out for you? And was there a player during those finals that really stood out?
Yeah, okay. So I'll go to the second one first. The player I played in three of the premierships and the four grand finals that to me was the outstanding finals player was Wayne Johnson. Jono, I think, was unlucky pretty much not to win four Norm Smiths in 4 years. He would have been second or third best on the ground. So, he was an outstanding finals player in a side or a club that had a lot of outstanding finals players. Like Mike Fitzpatrick was fantastic in his leadership. Bruce Stuhl was obviously great, not just in finals, but all the time. Those three, Kenny Hunter, but Jono absolutely did what was required and was a great first quarter finals player when the game needed to be won. So all very well to play well in the last quarter if you're two or three goals up and doing okay, but to step the game up, Jono was just fearless and just at the ball and at the player and was fantastic. So I would say Jono. And then in terms of which was the favourite, which is your favourite daughter for me. I got three of them, so I got three premierships. But I'd have to say 87. And the reason I'd say that is because 81, 82 was my first and second year, and the side was clearly, I thought, the best side, and a lot of people. We'd won in 79 and unlucky not to have 4-4, I think. And I was young as 19, 20, playing amongst, you know, the land of giants. So that was great. And then by 87, We'd had a few years where, you know, struggled a bit, 84, 85, you know, played finals, but we were making up the numbers. And then I was a leader in 87. I was one of the, you know, we didn't have a leadership group, but I would have been considered a leader. And Wolsey had really launched into me when he got to the Common 86. So I felt a great deal of ownership of 87. And we had a lot younger side. I was older, so the Kennedys, McKenzies, Aitkins, Robertsons, Murphys, those sorts of blokes. So, you know, 87 is, they're all great, but 87 probably means just a touch more to me.
Dave, 1987, I would say, especially over in Perth, a lot of the listeners would not have realised, but that day was 32 degrees stinking hot at the G. Would you have said, yep, we were the best team, but also too, would you have said, because of the heat and also Hawthorn having to go through the preliminary final also played an important factor of us, especially running away with it towards the end?
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, 87 was a warm summer all up, and culminated, sorry, not a warm summer, a warm September final series, and then culminated in the grand final. And we went out and Hawthorn played Melbourne in the preliminary final, and that was at Waverley, and that was that game where Jim Steins crossed the mark. So it was a hard-fought game and pretty rough and pretty tough game. And it was very, I remember it was extremely muggy and a lot of humidity on that game in the preliminary final. So when it came to the grand final, it was pretty much the hotter the better for us. And, you know, we felt all the way through the game, if we were close half-time, three-quarter time, the game was tight and close, that, yeah, that would be an advantage for us in the last quarter. I think that showed. We ran away from it. Our legs were better. And they were a bit banged up. So, yeah, it certainly helped. And then on the back of that, we had the loss in 86, which stung us a lot. And then during that year, you'd remember, we lost Motley to the car accident. We lost Des English to the diagnosis of cancer. And Bernie Evans was suspended in the preliminary final. So we had a lot of internal motivation going on as well.
Yeah, excellent. I'll hand you over to Mel.
Hi, David. Lovely to chat with you this morning. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Mel. How are you?
Good, good. What a fairy tale first season you had back in 81, with only after 15 games you took to the ground for your first grand final against the arch enemy Collingwood in front of a crowd of over 113,000. Can you please try and put into words and explain to the listeners the overwhelming excitement that you must be feeling as a 19-year-old?
Yeah, Mel. I was a Carlton supporter from about 5 years old. And I was in the zone, in Carlton zone. So I was lucky enough to be in that zone and go and then play under-19s. And really, when I went down to Carlton, I only, as a supporter, wanted to play under-19s and get a pair of socks and a pair of shorts, and I would have been happy. So then I played in a premiership in the under-19s in 79 and the under-19s in 1980. And then when I went in 81... You know, I was playing with blokes. I used to go to the football after I played as a junior and in a duffel coat and wear Rod Ashman and Bruce Dool's number on my duffel coat and go into the outer and watch. And then I'm standing on the MCG, as you said, 115,000 people, and we're playing the arch enemy Collingwood, and I'm standing next to these guys that I used to wear their duffel coat, their numbers on my duffel coat. So, you know, it's an extraordinary feeling for me, and I can remember a lot of it, you know, the pre-match and running out and playing. I played on a guy called Warwick Irwin, who'd come across from Fitzroy to Collingwood, and it still sends a tingle up my spine, and it was great. You know, as you said, I turned 20 during the year, so I was 19 at the start, and it's hard to put into words what it means, but it means a lot to me because of the Carlton love I had for them as a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old growing up, going and watching them and playing alongside my idols. It was, you know, quite extraordinary for me.
Well, that moves me on to my second question. Being that Dooley, you just mentioned him before, he was your idol growing up. Like the emotion of running alongside him on your debut round in 81 and also sharing your 100-game milestone and his 350-game milestone together.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And how was the emotional farewell to the champ in that heartbreaking grand final loss against Hawthorn in 86?
Yeah, like all those things, that's so true. My 100th game was Bruce's 350th, and when we ran out of it before the game, there was no banner for me. And and I sort of thought, well, geez, this is a bit rude. You know, there's no batter in my 100th game, and this bloke's playing his 350th. But then they had a batter for me at half time. So that was a bit of a surprise, which was great. And the thing about that is I used to remember thinking, you know, I played 100 games, that's okay. But this guy's actually played 250 more games than I've played. So he's played 350, and I thought I was doing all right at 100. But he's played 250 more. So, look, Bruce was a legend. He was great. People say, did he ever speak? He did. Bruce would. You know, he'd stand there. We'd have a pleasant Sunday morning after a game because all the games were on a Saturday, and then we'd train on a Sunday morning and then go up into the rooms and have watch World of Sport, the old World of Sport that I'm sure some of the listeners would remember. And Bruce would just stand there and then he'd just say, "Your shout." And that was it. So Bruce did talk, and he didn't need to talk on the field because he had telepathic skills, and he just knew what he was going to do and where he was going to go. So, but he was fantastic, Bruce, and we see him occasionally now still, and he's going okay. And you know, he's one of the legends of the Carlton Football Club for sure.
David, look, we have a you played in the 1987 Grand Final. We have a segment every week. Reece Jones comes on. What was it actually like playing with Reece? He just, for me, watching him, he just took no nonsense, and what you see is what you get. You hit me, I hit you. So
is he listening?
No. He comes on.
We have a weekly
segment with him. He comes on called the
Weekly Whack.
The Shirt Front.
Shirt Front.
And he comes on every week, and we dissect the game. So no, he's not listening. No.
But
he's not listening.
No.
Okay. So when he comes on, ask him what Woolsey said to him after the 86 Grand Final when he got reported hitting Gary Ayres. And we lost the game, and Ayres won the Norm Smith. And in the after, well, when we reviewed the game on the Tuesday, Woolsey used to get livid. So we're all sitting there, and they showed the thing which Reece got reported for, and Woolsey stopped the tape, and he looked at it, and he looked at Reece, and he said, "I don't get it, Reece. I don't get it. You've never hurt anyone when you've hit them. You hit all these people, but you never hurt anyone. So you've hit this bloke in the grand final, and he's gone on and won the Norm Smith medal. I don't understand it." And then just kept going. So I asked Reece about that. But look, Reece was a character to play football against. I used to play against him when he was at the Swans and on the wing. And there was this one occasion we're playing Sydney at Carlton, and I was playing on Reece, and Reece didn't have the aerobic capacity that I had. He was a magnificent footballer, great mark, just read the ball so well. But the only way I could beat Reece was to run. You know, if I just went toe-to-toe, he was, you know, taller than me, was a better mark and all that sort of thing. But I had the capacity to outrun him. And one day we're playing at Princess Park and we're beating them quite easily, and Reece had the ball and I was chasing him. And Peter Cameron was the umpire, and as he's running away, he's actually stopped, because I think he knew I would catch him, because he wasn't that quick, Reece. And he stopped and whacked me. And Peter Cameron's blown the whistle, taken the ball off Reece, given it to me as a free kick, and we played on, and we probably kicked the goal, because we beat them by about 20 goals that day. It was the day we kicked 13 in the first quarter. And I said to Reece, I said, "What'd you do that for? You had the ball." And he said, "You know what? Sometimes I just can't help myself." And that pretty much sums up Reece. Sometimes he just can't help himself.
No, that's true. Mate, look, he's a great supporter of this show. It's great to have. And he says it as he sees it, Dave, as you would well know. And he's excellent for us over here, Mel.
Well, he's been a great supporter of Carlton since he's come to the club. And you know, you see a lot of people coming in and out of the club, and even players that played their whole career at the club and don't really support them and are critical of them. But Reece is a great club man, and I say that, you know, honestly and with a lot of sincerity, that Reece is always doing what he thinks is best for the club. And I think, you know, hats off to Reece. I think he's fantastic the way when he came across, he's embraced it and continues to embrace the club. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Excellent to hear.
Well done.
Mel.
David, I just want to highlight for our listeners out there that you are the only Carlton football player who has won a premiership in the under-19s, reserves, seniors, and also a night premiership. That must make you extremely proud.
In fact, Mel, I'm the only person in the history of the game.
Oh, in the game, sorry.
Not only in the game. You don't need to say sorry. It's not something. But someone asked me that yesterday. It actually comes up a bit. And I believe there's about nine of us that have played across the league that have played under-19s, reserves and seniors. So there's about nine in the history of the game. But my understanding is I'm the only one in the league that played the ninth premiership as well. So I got the quadrilla. That's my understanding. It's a good trivia question for trivia night. I believe that's accurate.
Mate, it's a very good thing to have, Dave. Just a great, Dave, and this is happening too frequently, but we lost another player too soon in Alan Montgomery the weekend before. Mate, Alan was down there when you were playing with him. He was a good footballer, couldn't break it in. What are your memories of Alan?
We haven't heard a lot about Monty. We got a text. We had a like members function 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, which was fantastic. Reese was there. And then I see either that night or the next day, we got a text saying that Monty had passed away. And I haven't actually... I've Googled it a couple of times to try and find out what happened, and I can't seem to find out what happened, so I don't know any more than he passed away.
Okay. I can give you a heads up, mate. He actually was on a fishing trip with his mates, and he had a heart attack.
Okay. It's so sad to hear. Yeah, I think he was 62 when I had a look at his statistics. And my memory, I think he was a fireman or a firefighter,
That's correct. He was a fireman, yep.
Yeah. So, look, great guy. You know, he came across, I think he came across a forward and then was playing on a half-back, but, you know, it was pretty hard side to break into when Monty came across.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Hunter was on one half-back and Bruce was on the other and Perra was sent half-back. And, you know, I think most people would have found it difficult to break into that half-back line.
That's for sure.
And, you know, he was as a guy, I can remember, you know, really good guy. He played for the Perth Demons, I believe.
Yep.
I had an enormous amount of success coaching in the two years I was there. I think I've been voted the worst coach of Perth in the history of the Demons, which I reckon's a bit harsh, but maybe in the top three or top four, but, you know, the worst, that's a bit harsh. We played Subiaco in the first game, and I think they were runners-up the year before. They had 13 Eagles players in the team. And we had none. We had no one that had played Adrian Barrage. And we played Subiaco at left lane, and we won by about 5 goals. And I remember in the inside football, there was an inside football, West Australian football or something like that. And that year, that week, they were saying that I was a genius, that I was the best coach that had ever come to WA to be able to get Perth up against Subiaco and beat them by 5 goals. I reckon we lost the next 10 in a row. and by the end of that year, they weren't saying the same things about me. So, I see the big Spaldo's still coaching the Demons. So I think he got them, you know, they went all right last year. So hopefully they're going okay. But, yeah, to get back to Monty, you know, fabulous guy. I really liked him. You know, he came across to Carlton and probably in another era may have played 150, 200 games. But unfortunately... it was a difficult side in that period of time to break into.
No, that's true, mate. Mate, look, one final question from me, mate, and this is another one. You were inducted into the Carlton Hall of Fame in 2001. Well-deserved. How big of an occasion was that for you on that night, mate?
When I was told, I thought that made a mistake, a surprise. I was surprised, yeah. It's probably as significant for me as the premierships are to be inducted into the football club I supported. As I said, since a 5-year-old, my father supported. My father was a lolly man at the 45 Bloodbath, so at Carlton. So some of the listeners would remember, well, not remember it, but well, maybe some would, but be aware that the 45 Bloodbath was played, the grand final was played at Carlton because the returning troops were billeted at the MCG, so that was not available. So the game, and there was a massive brawl, which ended up with about 14, 15 players getting reported. Yep. My father was a lolly boy, selling lollies at that. He was about 7 or 8 years old then. And then I went to my first game in 65. And then to play for them, play premierships with them, play over 150 games with them, and then be inducted in the Hall of Fame, basically capped off for me, was a fairy tale. And it's something that I wear with a lot of pride and honour. I love the football club. I'm frustrated with them at the moment and disappointed at how they're going. But I went on Thursday night, fully expecting them to win. The Hall of Fame is a great honour that I wear with a lot of pride. Mate, and don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly at all.
Mate, it's well deserved. That was going to be the last question, but I've got Mel waving her hands here wanting to ask you one more question, so I'll just give it over to Mel.
David, I just want to touch on the you're just talking about how important the Guernsey is to you, but in particular the number 32 Guernsey. It must have taken you some guts to actually, as soon as you got listed as a senior, you requested to have the number 32, Brian Quicks.
Quirky. Yeah, quirky.
And you requested to have the Guernsey. What was your relationship with Brian?
Yeah, so Brian, Quirky was my under-19s coach at Carlton, and I guess he was the first guy at Carlton that showed some faith in me, and he was my coach for 2 years, and I developed a pretty good relationship with him because he was a school teacher and I was studying teaching at Rusden, and before I got my licence, he was working out past where I would, and he would pick me up and drive me into training. So we had a lot of discussions and conversations into and out of training. So I developed quite a good relationship with him. And then when I went up into the seniors, the 32 was vacant. So there was no one wearing it. Tony Pickett was the last guy, and I think he'd left at the end of 79. And I just asked the club if I could have 32, and because it was vacant, they said yes. And so I wear it with pride, and Brian's still a good friend of mine. At the Life Members a couple of weeks ago, he was there, which was great to see, and so I had a great chat to Quirky. And I've always got an interest in the 32 when the new person gets it. That's the history of why I wear 32, and my daughters wear 32 when they can. So I got a picture the other day. The youngest one is playing at Coburg this year, and they've given her the 32. And I always ask, do you ask for it, or do they give it to you? And she always says they give it to her, but I reckon she might ask for it, but she's just not telling me that.
No, it's good to hear. Anyway, we better wrap it up, mate. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for great memories and all the sharing of that today and giving up your precious time as always. And as we always end on this show, mate, go Blues.
Yeah, go Blues. And when you're talking to Reece, don't get stuck into about that. And also say, Glazart reckons that I should have won the Norm Smith in 87, not Reece. And because my game on Platton was more important than his game on Brereton.
I'll see
how he answers that one.
No worries, mate. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. Really enjoyed it. Go Blues. And we live in hope, don't we?
Thanks, mate. All right. Thanks again, mate. Catch up soon. Thank you, David.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
David Reece-Jones. Always good to give up his time.
David Glasgow, do you mean?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm all over the place. I've got phones going everywhere at the minute. Anyway, we better go for a quick break. And when we return, we'll have the one and only, the hyphen David Reece-Jones. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441 658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means. As we barrel shot our first into the shirt front, I speak, of course, of none other than Mr. David Rhys-Jones. Good morning, David, and how are you today? Or good afternoon, should I say, in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I've recovered from Thursday night, so I've taken a little bit of time to let it all sink in. I didn't go to the match, but I nearly destroyed a television.
Mate, someone wanted to know, did you back a winner?
I just did, actually. Oh. I just backed the winner of Bendigo, so,
excellent, good to hear.
You could have had me on a bit earlier. I could have tipped it to you.
Yeah. You could have told me while we were texting, while Dave was on. you're right, mate. He can talk. I couldn't get him off the phone. No, it was a great interview, but you're right. He can talk, Dave. I've known him for many, many years, and, yes, he's a good talker. All right, mate.
School teachers.
And I can tell you, mate, he has dished a bit of dirt on you that will let you know. It's not too bad, but anyway. All right, I've got people in the studio waving hands wanting to ask questions. Craig, to you.
My first one, David, is just concerning what on the Thursday night. Harry McKay, great game, but for a guy that is so big and so strong, the amount of times he's just getting pushed off the ball and falls to the ground. Now, it happened quite a few times Thursday night, and it happened the week before as well.
Yeah, look, he's got to realise that the week before when he crunched into one of their players, and I jumped out of my seat and I go, how good's that? You know, beautiful sort of thing, because big blokes have got to make a presence out on a footy ground, and he's got to realise how big and strong he is. Casbolt's another one who just disappoints me week in, week out. You know, he's big enough to really crash packs and hurt people and set the example, because we've got the good small forwards now, and, that's what the big blokes have got to do. If they don't mark it, the ball's got to come to the deck and they've got to create a path through. And, I look right through the team. I just think the word soft can be mentioned, you know, to quite a lot of those players, because they're playing a very soft brand of football at the moment. And, you know, when our youngest player, Sam Wallace, has been our best player over the last 2 weeks, it just shows where we're at.
Here, Dave, you mentioned soft. I just want to let me run through these names. Tackles, Casbolt, 1. Doherty, 0. Fisher, 0. Gibbons, 0. Murphy, 1. Nunes, 0. SBS, 1. Saad, 1. Wiedering, 1. Williamson's, 1. I think that says a bit about mindset and where we are as a team of trying to tackle and being desperate for the ball. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Yeah, look, and a lot of times you start with the little stuff, the tackling, the chasing, the smothers, the Shepherds, you know, and it gets you into form. It gets you into the play. So, you know, we always call them the one percenters, but they're just so important. And when you're not doing that, you're just not going to win games of football. So they need to have a real good look at themselves this week. And, you know, it's really, really crunch time for the season for the club, this match this week, because if they don't put up, well, if they don't win, they need to win it. But they just need to show that they are men out there playing a game of football that means the world to them. And otherwise, it's just going to be another one of those seasons where we're up and down, and we see a little bit of hope here and there. But it's been too long. Yeah. It's just not good enough.
One of those standout players from the one percenters for me the last 2 weeks has been Fogarty. What are your thoughts on him as a recruit?
Yeah, look, he looks okay. You know, I don't see any of him at Geelong, but he's one of those guys who does like tackling. He sort of, you know, he does chase and he does look to tackle and get in and do the hard stuff. So, yeah, he's one of the few who is setting example in that regard anyway.
Hi, Fitzmel here. How are you doing? Just touching on the David Teague's post-game interview, you just called them soft, so to speak. He actually said that the players need to find a harder edge, but he still insists that they haven't lost their belief. Belief, is that enough? The body language on the guys after the game, they're just completely disheartened. They've got no belief. Well, that's what I feel anyway. What are your thoughts?
Well, if they've got belief, they've got belief that they can lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing. Yep. You know, they're not winning. I don't know what they've got belief in because, you've got to have pride in your own ability. And if they think that that's good enough, then, there's a pretty low standard that they're putting out there. So I just want to see, you know, this week, I think bouncing back off, you know, that first game against Richmond may have taken a bit out of a few of our guys, you can sort of. But from here on in, there is absolutely no excuses. And, I think they need to be let known that at training this week. And we'll see whether they have got belief and whether they have got a bit of ticker inside too, because that's what they need to bring out.
One of the big things doing the rounds on Twitter and Facebook at the moment is a photo of Plowman smiling and laughing after the game with Grundy. What's your thoughts on that? Is it, you know, fair to have a laugh after the game or nap? Should you be disappointed?
Well, I think he had about 8 goals kicked on him, didn't he? 7 or 8 goals kicked on him over the course of the game. He had the little bloke, taking marks or will. And look, I must admit, it would have been hard in the back line if there didn't seem to be too much pressure across the Collingwood players as they're coming into the forward line. They seem to have open space to move into and they're getting a pretty free run in there. But, and sometimes they can catch you on an odd moment as you're sort of walking off. And there's cameras everywhere these days, but that is a terrible look. And especially when you had the game that Plowman did have, it's just not a good look at all. And sometimes it can reflect, how much it really means to them.
Yeah, just touch on that before I ask my next question. I used to play footy against some of my mates, and if they beat us, they'd come to shake my hand, and I'd tell them to go away. I would not stand there and laugh with them. It's just probably my competitive nature, but anyway,
I was the opposite. I mean, I'd players come up to shake hands before the match, and I found that pretty hypocritical because I thought, why am I going to wish them luck? I'll shake hands with them after the game, and that was my attitude. I wasn't going to shake hands before, but I'd shake hands with them afterwards. But if we got beat, I don't think I'd have a big grin on my face and be marching around there.
No, I always took it to heart too. But anyway, one shining light was the inclusion of Zach Williams. He looks like he's going to add that pace and class to the midfield, but at the same time, he needs like Cripper, Kerno, these other guys to step up because apart from him, we're getting smashed in the middle again.
Yep. Yep, yeah, we did. We, the ball just comes out of the middle way too easily, and whether it's we haven't got enough pace in there or what it is, but and Cripper is just looking a shadow of his self from 2 years ago, and last year we sort of thought he had that shoulder injury and a few other things, but apparently he's all good to go this year, and to be perfectly honest, he's been disappointing. He has been a bit disappointing, and even when he's been thrown forward, he's not taking the marks and kicking the goals that we need. His performances over the first couple of rounds have been pretty ordinary, given the high standard we expect from him, and he should expect from himself.
Teague, Tiki also indicated that Eddie may be back in next week and may be the moral boost that Carlton need. What are your thoughts on Eddie returning? And do you think we have room for both Eddie and Jack Martin?
Well, I actually thought, you know, with Fisher and the guys, you know, coming through, Gibbons, Fisher, Jack Martin, etc., I actually said at the start of the year that to a few people that if Eddie gets a game this year, then I hope he doesn't play. For the fact that we're doing that well and we don't need him, and we're getting enough out of our small forwards to not need him, and you know, the big blokes are doing their role and the small forwards are, you know, getting the crumbs and being able to kick the goals to, and that's how I viewed it. I thought, well, if Eddie doesn't get a game this year, we'll be going pretty well. But we're not going well, so we probably have to play. But I wouldn't throw him in just yet. I'd give these kids a bit of a chance. It's there is a few new players in there who need to, you know, acclimatise to each other and get to know each other a bit more. And but, you know, as I said before, time starts to run out too.
It does. Look, hopefully they have a good week on the track this week, because all hell's going to break loose, Mace, if we don't beat Fremantle seconds. Because that's basically all they've got over here, is they've got injury lists longer than...
They've got 25 players to pick from.
Lucky we don't have to call in sick on the Monday because it's a public holiday.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, maybe it's time for Teague to say, guys, bring your mouthguards. And have
It really is. It's time. And look, you know, at times you watch David Teague and he seems calm and relaxed and... you know, which you can appreciate at times, but I'd love to see a bit of frustration come out of him, and for him to come out and show that. And I think if he did that, that'd reflect to the players. You know, and whether he gives them a bake behind closed doors or not, I'm not too sure. But gee, it's well worth coming anyway. You know, just with all the hype over the membership department and everything that. Hype coming from the club about, you know, expectations this year, and I think a lot of Carlton people have seen the signs, and we've just been waiting for something to happen, and you know, to go 0-2 once again is very disappointing.
Mate, that it is.
Collingwood too.
Yep.
Collingwood were in bad form, and I thought we had the, you know, on paper I thought we had the same to beat.
And the worst thing, definitely. Dave, they're now, after all that history, they're one game in front of us.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Mate, I remember when I was playing, and there was always a reasonable gap there, but over the last 15, 20 years or so, it's been able to be narrowed. And mate, now they're in front.
Mate, I've got to ask you a quick question, because unless the rules changed, or maybe I'm wrong, and I did ask the panel this early this morning, but I always thought a suspended player was not allowed on the ground. Now, last night, Patrick Dangerfield was on the ground, Brisbane and Geelong being interviewed by Channel 7. Have the rules changed?
Was he actually over the boundary line?
He was physically on the ground while both teams were doing their warm-up just before the bounce.
Over the boundary line,
yes,
though?
Yes, over the boundary line.
Yeah. That was... geez, I remember over here, I got rubbed out for 12 months, and I couldn't step foot on the footy field when I was coaching, so I had to actually get the players to walk over to the boundary line.
I can remember I can remember one thing over here. Mel Brown, they got one of those cranes to lift him over at three-quarter time.
Well, there was a Channel 7 show over here that I was, the club that I was coaching, and they actually got one of those cherry pickers to put me over the line. But they didn't have someone who could run it, so no one who could actually use the thing. They just got the bloody cherry picker in there, so it was a waste of time.
Yeah. And another one from, and I'll just go last night's game because it was an absolute howler, and I'll name umpire number 10, Robert O'Gorman, for not actually seeing Blickarves.
Blitzarves.
However you call it.
I'll get you my book.
Dropping the ball, incorrect disposal, whatever you want to call it. It was just blatant. Now, that's how an umpire can ruin a game.
we've seen umpires ruin games over history, but... I'm shaking my head watching football at the moment, and who was the bloke in the middle? He couldn't even bounce the ball. He could not bounce the bloody ball, and They've got the umpires, you know, they have to learn the rules and everything else. They only have to learn one skill. One skill.
Yep.
Bounce a bloody ball straight up in the air.
Yeah, but they also need to know the rules, which would be good. Mate, anyway.
Well, and if I was a Brisbane supporter, you'd be filthy on that because that cost them the win.
That it did. Mate, just a quick one. As I just give you a heads up earlier that we had David Glascott on the show just before yourself. He did say one thing about you. Now, we're not sure if this is true or not, but he said after the 86 grand final loss in the review, Wallsy, he wanted us to ask you, what did actually Wallsy say to you after that defeat and for you hitting Gary Ayres?
He actually said something along the lines of, I was up this morning, my next door neighbour walked over and said, Rhys Jones will get reported today. And you did. Huh. And I felt like saying, well, that could happen every second week anyway. Maybe can say something like that, never happened.
Yeah.
So, it was something along those lines. What did he say?
He said something about that Wallsy said, you hit him. But you don't hit anyone hard enough because he won the Norm Smith medal, something like that.
Yeah, I remember when I punched him, I threw a left out and he didn't bat an eyelid. And I thought, well, that wasn't a very good idea. Because,
he was built like the brick proverbial.
He didn't blink.
Yeah, no, he was a huge man. Mel.
David also went on about the 87 Norm Smith medal and said he should have won the Norm Smith because of the role he played on Platin was more important than yours.
Him and Jono and, oh, God, I got dogs barking here now. Well, they all should have won it, should they? Jono reckons he should have won it.
Yeah, I know. Well, mate, look, we better wrap it up. We look forward to the Dockers game next Sunday. Let's hope we put a better showing and we get a win against, as Craig mentioned, the Dockers reserves. So, anyway, mate, on behalf of all...
And it's over here, too. It's over here. So,
yes.
Fingers crossed.
Let's not throw the towel in just yet. But,
no.
But, you know, we need to see a mighty fine, aggressive, hard, disciplined team this week, and that's what I want to see.
Yep. Exactly, mate. No, that's all we want to see. Just have a go. If the better team wins, that's it. But we just want to make sure they're having a go. Anyway, mate, we'll wrap it up. Thanks once again for joining us. We really do appreciate everything you do for us on this show, and so do the listeners. And as always, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues. All right, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Mel, AFLW review. We've got the girls. Let's over to you.
Well, it is the final round before finals. We have Greater Western Sydney on Sunday afternoon. 1:10 our time, 4:10 over in Melbourne. Now, this is super important for us. We do have a chance to still make the finals. It's going to be tough.
Only if Fremantle beat North Melbourne today, though.
They have to beat North Melbourne significantly.
Starts in 1 minute.
1 minute time starts. Yep.
So we will know whether we even have a chance this afternoon. Percentage-wise, we need at least 19.3% of an increase. So we need to win substantially like we did last week. We can do it. We won by 60 goals.
Has it stopped raining in Sydney?
I don't know.
Because there's been floods and locusts and plague and everything up there. So if the ground's a mud heap, who knows? But anyway, sorry.
So to our disadvantage, GWS are thinking they've got the boost by the return of Tanya Hetherington and Amy Schmidt. They've both returned from ankle injuries, which is in particular important for their forward line. Hopefully, I don't know our list as yet. It hasn't dropped.
It'll come out this hour.
So I'm hoping we don't have any. I checked injuries.
I think there's one change because I think one of the girls that played last week is playing in the VFL team this week.
Okay.
So there's got to be at least one.
One change. But hopefully Darcy brings it again with the support of Breanne Mooney. One thing I did miss on last week's show is Darcy Vesio broke the AFLW record with the highest goal scorers. She was a highest goal scorer ever in the AFLW, reaching 40 goals.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, thanks. Look, she's in great form. So, yep, that's it?
That's it.
Okay, all right, that's fine. One thing we didn't bring up that Dockers captain who should have got 2 weeks.
That was a suspension. If Matty Prespakis was suspended for doing nothing.
Yep.
Bowler should have been suspended.
I was actually watching the AFLW review show last night, and Completely blank. Melbourne captain.
Daisy Pearce.
She was trying to compare both the tackles, and we were watching them back to back, and you've got Kiara Bowers' tackle.
Pile driver.
Which is pulverized into the ground. Yep. And then you've got Pisprakis, which was like
it's
a little
sling,
roll.
Little
sling. So how can Maddie...
You know why she got off? Because she's leading the thing and she'll win the equivalent of the BX.
And she'll win it.
And it's a joke. She should have got 2 weeks because she could have really
hurt that
she
girl.
She could have broken that girl's neck.
Yeah.
And that's what they're calling the potential for serious injury. Yeah. And there was potential for serious injury there. So
anyway, it is what it is. She got off. Good luck to her. We need her to play a blinder today and the Dockers to win by about 20 goals and we'll go well. Anyway.
Yep.
Before we go over, we've got a big function come up. Before we do that, I just wanted to mention a few social media shows that are on that for about Carlton. There's one now, it's on Facebook, and it's part of the Carlton Live, but it's the Western Bar Show, hosted by two Western Australians here, and it's all to do with the view from the Western Australians. So Simone and her brother Frank do a great job on that. So have a listen to that. There's also other social media, Blues Abroad, etc., etc. The Navy Blue Corner I've got to give a big shout-out for.
Is that your son?
Because that's my son. So he does a great podcast, which is on Spotify, everything else, so Navy Blue Corner. So have a look at, even though you're listening to us, also have a look at those great Carlton shows that are on Facebook, social, you know, Spotify, YouTubes, all those type of things, because we're all here for one thing, and it's to boost our club. And the club, outside the club, you know, the membership, everything's just flowing. We just need the players to just lift a bit and get us a win and have a bit
lift
of consistency.
A lot.
Anyway, all right, with Paris, one of the WA Blues events we've got upcoming this Sunday. Tell us about that.
Yes, next Sunday, Easter Sunday at the Camfield, we're versing Fremantle and the game starts, I believe, at 1:20.
1:20 bounce down.
We do have a good record on Easter. I believe we've won the last couple of Easter games, one that... You know, it comes to my mind straight away is the Western Bulldogs one.
Is it because we're good Christian boys or what is it?
I believe so. I think 2 years ago we lost the first six maybe and then won against Western Bulldogs on Easter Sunday when we still had... What's the name of the coach? The little
Brendan Bolton.
Brendan Bolton was still
Why'd
the coach.
Why'd you point at me when you said the little bloke? Anyway, go on.
Actually, Bolton's probably taller than him.
Anyway, keep going.
So, yes, it'd be great if people can come down to the Camfield for their Easter Sunday lunch or just to watch the game against Fremantle. Hopefully we get the chocolates and you might even win some chocolates too in the raffle.
Yes, members, come down. Because it's Easter, big Easter hamper.
Yep.
Members. Yes, Craig?
Nothing beats my member prize on the
We'll get to that. It wasn't a member's prize.
And it was rigged.
It was a raffle. Wasn't rigged.
You paid Archie to draw your ticket out.
Yeah.
So as Paris said, come on, WA Blue Baggers, Easter Sunday. Get to the Camfield. Game starts at 1:20. Yes, I know it. You've got to have your family lunch. Bring your family. Have lunch at the Camfield.
The lunch is incredible. I recommend the sliders.
Yeah, oh, they're great. Come down. It'll be beautiful. The weather's tipped to be fantastic. Come and watch it with other Carlton supporters. As Paris mentioned, only members who show their badge will be they'll get a free ticket to win the Christmas. How good am I going? The Easter hamper. And it's a very good hamper because Paris is putting it together.
Yep.
Ooh. Lots of chocolates. Wine even, I think.
Maybe a bottle of
vino. So come along.
I like Chardonnay Paris, just for the record.
So come along. The more the merrier. We have a great time down there. So come along. And of course, after that, follow us. We'll give shout-outs here for when our next events are, but also follow us on our Facebook page or also go to the internet to have a look. Well, Craig's got up on his Rosser and he's having a sing. It's time to go. We've gone a bit longer today, but next week we're going to go back to a new starting time, which is 8 till 9, so join us. But as we always say on this show, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Picks along to Ryan. Big grab by Liam Flying Ryan.
The best players make their mark in the big moments. Make your mark in 2021 by trading the world's biggest market on Stake. Seize every opportunity with access to over 4,000 US stocks and ETFs in the palm of your hand. With Stake, you'll trade fast, direct, and with $0 brokerage. Download Stake. Wall Street. Now you're trading.
Stake is a licensed representative of Sandlam Private Wealth. Read our FSG for more information.
Kicks along to Ryan. Big grab by Liam Flynn. Ryan.
The best players make their mark in the big moments. Make your mark by trading the world's biggest market on Stake. Seize every opportunity and download Stake Wall Street Now You're Trading.
Stake is a licensed representative of Sanlam Private Wealth. Read our FSG for more information.